Now, 2017, Kira O'Malley and her partner David were living their dream life, having just moved to Vancouver. On the 30th of June, Kira was celebrating her 27th birthday when, as she described it, a boulder came and knocked the life as I knew it from under my feet. David had gone missing in a lake 5 hours from their home. Kira's life changed in an instant, and Kira is on the line now. Hey, Kira.
Oh, hi. How are you keeping?
Lovely to talk to you. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
It's an incredible story, and one you write in a really honest and open manner, and it's an absolute pleasure to read. Talk us through the 30th of June 2017.
Yeah, so as you said, it was my birthday. Myself and David had moved to Vancouver, the February just gone, so we were living there and we were loving everything Canada had to offer. We were just loving our life. David had left 2 days previously and he had gone to a tournament in Calgary. So he was gone with a group of lads. He was mad into football, loved the GA. It was his life. So he was delighted. And I was finishing work and I was heading for a barbecue with some of my friends. And I got the news that David had been involved in a drowning accident. On the way to the tournament, they would have stopped in the most, it's a beautiful place, you know, now reflecting back, I can say that, beautiful lake, you know, it was a warm day, himself and some of the lads, they were jumping in, and unfortunately David surfaced and then he was pulled back under the water. So yeah, as you said, you know, my life just, I walked into, we all did, David's family walked into a nightmare. And I suppose everything kind of got worse really for a long time, because not only was David, you know, involved in a drowning accident, he was also missing. So we couldn't locate his body.
And Kira, was that what was in your, you called it a drowning accident. At the time when you got the phone call, what percentage of you was hopeful that David was still alive, and what percentage was, as you said, you know, believing it was a drowning accident?
Oh yeah, when I heard first, I just said, no, it's fine, David's grand. I was like, in my head, for a long time, even though deep within me, I knew, but like our minds are so clever, they want us to believe the best case scenario. So I do think early on, I did believe, I was like, I'll get to the lake, we'll find David, we'll go back to Vancouver, we'll live our life. This is just a little blip. And I suppose, I think I always knew really early on, but for a long time, it was a protective method for myself to believe, okay, no, I'm not going to lose the love of my life. David hasn't gone. So yeah.
You went, of course, straight away and joined the rescue mission. And I know someone said to you, this isn't a rescue mission, it's a recovery mission. You had a lot of hope. Yeah. How did the search go?
So I left straight away from Vancouver and headed to the lake. And we spent 3 weeks searching for David, and we were so lucky. You know, the support we received from all around the world was amazing. And we had helicopters, we had canine search teams, we had boats, we had the most amazing people supporting us. But every day we were discovering the elements off the lake, you know, that there was a glacier runoff, that there was, you know, there was undercurrents in the water. And the odds were really up against us. So it was really, really challenging. But as you said, there was so much hope, you know, and I suppose I felt like, you know, and I discussed this in the book about David would have sent me a dragonfly, a sign. And through all the pain and all the suffering, I felt like David was trying to guide us and show us, you know, what you're going through is awful, but I am here. I'm trying to help you. So, yeah, you know, and the support we received. So even though there was so much pain and suffering, there was a lot of hope and love within all the pain.
It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM, and we are talking to Kira O'Malley, author of a book called Miracles Appear When Loved Ones Are Near, about the tragic accident that took her partner, David. Do you think, I know in August of that year, you went home with David's family for a memorial service. So, there, you know, a couple of months later, a month and a bit later, there was, you know, already that kind of sense that this was a memorial service. How did you feel traveling back to Ireland at that point?
Oh, I was heartbroken. The last time I left Ireland, me and David left on our adventure to move to Canada and heading, landing back into Dublin Airport by myself. I suppose, you know, obviously I was with David's family and my family, but David wasn't there. So it was just absolutely heartbroken. And to be honest, a memorial service, I didn't even know what a memorial service was. You know, the way we associate, like when someone, you know, passes away, a funeral, a coffin, all the things that we would normally associate, we didn't have for David. So it was just so challenging. And yeah, it was surreal, really. But we were so eager to go back to Canada and continue the search. And I suppose we had to do that to, you know, there was a lot of people in Ireland, you know, who loved and knew David. So we had, you know, we had to mark that as well.
You had to make that impossible decision to stand down the search, as you say, because the lake was about to freeze and it just conditions wouldn't allow. Nature waits for nobody. So you went back to Ireland, and then, as you say, you were looking forward to getting back. When did you arrive back in Canada and resume the search for David's body?
So it was the following year. We went back in April 2018.
And how quickly after you returned were you able to recover David's body?
We were only there a few days. We had a search team organised from Ireland who were, they were due to fly over and they hadn't even landed. So we were only, it was very quick, really.
What kind of emotions did you feel when, after such a long 10 months or whatever it was, that his body was finally found? What do you feel at that moment?
Even now I find it hard to put the words on that, because them few months, them it was 7 months between when we left the last search to go back to Canada. And my mental health just really took an awful hit, because all I wanted to do was, you know, finding David gave me a purpose. But when we found him, I suppose in my head, I kind of thought, oh, I'd be so grateful. And, you know, and I was, because it was a miracle we found him. But it was also very real. You know, this is it now. David has actually, you know, he's not here. You know, it just made everything really real and surreal. And I suppose it was heartbreaking, even though at the same time, we were so blessed that we did find him, because I couldn't imagine where my life would have gone if we hadn't found him. It was heartbreaking. I hope I never experience feelings like that again, if that makes sense. It was just all kinds of, it was very overwhelming.
One thing, Ciara, that really jumps out of the book is your awareness of the growth you've experienced just as a human being yourself since all this unfolded, and the little things that have helped you along the way. Talk to us about the dragonfly that you mentioned.
Yeah, so I suppose, you know, I have, you know, now I'm in a completely different place and stage in my life. But I suppose, you know, when you're going through something so awful, you know, I wanted some hope or some belief that, you know, there was something more out there. And when we were searching for David at the lake, the bridge he would have jumped in off, myself and his sister were standing there, and there was this beautiful blue dragonfly. And we kind of didn't pass any heed in the beginning, but it was just like staying there, and dragonflies are really quick, and, you know, it'd be hard to catch one. And we got a little stick and the dragonfly stayed on the stick with us, and we were kind of taken aback then. We were like, this is a bit strange. And it stayed with us for a long time, to the point that, you know, had it on the stick, and we walked up and we showed everyone else, and we're all stand around looking at this dragonfly. But afterwards, someone mentioned to me, you know, that dragonflies, you know, can symbolize, you know, I think they read a quote to me, they're angels with an extra set of wings that come down from heaven to show you, you know, that you're supported. And I remember Googling then and I got this feeling, I was like, oh my God, that was David. David sent me that to give me some hope and some belief that, you know, there is something, you know, what we were going through was so awful, but it gave me this little glimmer and this, it was a nice feeling that I felt through, and there was so much pain. But I found a beautiful poem then that evening, and it's about a water beetle. And the water beetle obviously lives under the water. And in the poem, the water beetle is saying, you know, when I eventually transform and turn into a beautiful dragonfly, I will come back and tell all my friends that I'm okay. And in the poem, the water beetle obviously climbs up the stem and transforms into a beautiful dragonfly, but it can't go back into the water. And it can't tell its friends, even though in the poem it's saying, you know, I'm beautiful, I've transformed, I'm in this new place, it's beautiful. And I remember just feeling, oh my God, that is David's way of saying, you know, Kira, like, I can't tell you where I am in the physical sense. I can't, but I can show you in other ways. And I suppose I'm obsessed with dragonflies now. I've tattooed, you know, but for me, that just, I suppose it just really, it opened me up to a new belief in, like, okay, you know, our loved ones can send us signs and they can show us, you know, that they are still around. And, you know, that's really hard because we're human beings. And like, I wanted David back, you know, in the physical sense. But now I suppose, you know, it has helped my growth because I feel him around me now all the time. And I ask for signs. And even this morning, I was like, okay, David, be with me when I'm talking on the radio, you know, like as in. So, yeah.
Hmm. Is it true that you guys met at a Saw Doctors concert?
Yeah.
at age 16 and 17.
Yeah, so we were going out 10 years and I'm just so grateful now. For a long time, you know, it was really hard, you know, to kind of think, you know, we spent, because obviously we had, you know, we'd planned the rest of our life, like moving to Canada, getting married, coming back to Ireland, you know. But I'm so grateful now. And we did so much in them 10 years. A bit of me now thinks, you know, believes that David, a deeper part of David's soul knew, you know, that his time that he didn't have a lot, you know, that long here, because he really did, you know, and he really did have a love of life, and he made the most of his life here.
The fact that you're able to speak about this terrible accident that was only 4 or 5 years ago so well, and write the book about it as well, it just goes to show that you've really done well in terms of coping with the loss and everything. I know you've done meditation and gratitude and affirmations and all those things, but whatever it is that gets you through has really paid off.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, I would have done, you know, a lot. I would have acknowledged the grief. And for a long time, I was like pushing it away. And I wanted someone to come with their magic wand and just fix me and make me better. And I was very kind of stuck. And I got to a place where I was nearly fed up with myself, that I realized, geez, if this is going to get better, I need to start investing in me. And I suppose it comes back to self-worth and self-belief. For a long time, I believed, you know, my life was over. And our minds are so clever. Like, I had told my mind, you know, this is it. Now David's gone. My life ended too. And I got to a place where I was like, actually, do you know what? To honour David, David wouldn't, if it was the other way around, he wouldn't want me to just give up and, you know, for my life to end then as well. So I started realising then how clever your mind was. And I started realising, Jesus, this grief is all the love I have and continue to have for David. Like, I have to feel this, and I'm trained, I do Reiki now and whatever. And it's so important, you know, we'll all go through challenges in life. But it's so important to feel everything, not just the good feelings. And anyone who knows me, I'll always say, feeling is healing. You know, it's in them moments when we're crying and we're a mess, that we are doing the healing, that we are letting go of some of that intense energy. And I suppose that's what really pushed me on to write the book, because we hear all the sad stories, and for so long everyone who was just like, oh, you poor thing, and you know, we're devastated for you. But I had gone on my whole healing journey, and I was starting to view the world as, in a different way. I was like, oh my God, you know, what happened to David, you know, it didn't define my life. And I'm so passionate about this now, because, you know, we hear every day, you know, of tragic stories. And, you know, a lot of the time, you know, and for so long, I thought, Jesus, my life is never going to get better. So that's why I'm so passionate and wanted to share that, you know, yep. you can heal and grow and evolve.
And people can read all about it. Author of Miracles Appear When Loved Ones Are Near. Ciara O'Malley, thank you for sharing your story and the story of David with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers. Thanks, Ciara. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.